You ever watch this guy on television?
You all were not telling the truth, and you should not be trusted.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, thank you for what you did for your country tonight.
Be offended with the Democratic whip, not House Republicans.
Like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
Welcome to Hot Takes. I'm Congressman Matt Gaetz. Let's talk about the news. Roger Stone reportedly has to show up to jail in 7 days. That's from Jack Posobiec at One American News breaking it. And I replied that I don't think that Roger Stone is going to do one day in prison. I think that he should be pardoned. I believe that he will be pardoned. And I think that is the way to do justice in this case. Roger Stone, as I've said on the podcast before, should not disproportionately bear the burden of the corrupt Mueller investigation. And it may come down to the last second, may come down to the last minute, but I do not believe that Roger Stone will do 1 minute behind bars. Say no to the WHO, the Trump administration providing notice that the United States will be withdrawing from the World Health Organization. That notice also provided to the United States Congress, and I am totally in support of this decision for reasons I'm going to get to, but I just want to take a moment and note that listeners to this podcast got an early look into this decision. If you go back and listen to the Camp David talks that we had on the WHO and how there were folks in the Trump administration who were trying to convince the president to backslide on his very strong stance, they wanted him to provide WHO funding just at a lower level. And I think you saw a lot of the president's allies in Congress who were with him step up and say, no, you know, this is a strong stance you've taken. This is going to ultimately lead to better outcomes. And here's how I think it can do that in some pretty specific ways. First, it is a clear message to China that if they go and utilize their prowess to try to convince these international entities to conceal information, to take their side in opposition to the truth and what can help a rapid response, that that's not going to be tolerated, that there are going to be more dire consequences if that is to occur. And the second message, I think, is to the institutions themselves, that if they think the United States is just going to be dead money during the Trump administration, they're wrong. You know, this is the president who wrote the art of the deal. He is willing to walk away from a bad deal. And ultimately, the World Health Organization had become a bad deal for the United States of America. Now, that doesn't mean that our global health initiatives and our global health leadership is not important. But I think by departing from the lying, China-simping WHO, we liberate America to go and work directly on problem solving. I don't think the WHO is going to ultimately be the most responsive entity to these global crises. I think that we now have the ability to have more direct bilateral work going on with other countries. And we, of course, can cooperate with entities like the Red Cross, with other entities, but now under terms and conditions that are more honest and forthcoming. And who knows? You know, maybe a change in the WHO leadership, maybe a change in attitude and mentality. We can always go back. But when it's a bad deal for America, when it's a bad deal for global health, we shouldn't just stay in and convince ourselves that that is progress. That was not progress. What the president's doing now will bring us forward. It will open up more opportunities, and it'll ensure that America is not just getting taken advantage of, because that ultimately hurts our people. If we're lied to, if we're part of a club that leans to the China narrative on things, it ultimately doesn't help our people. So this is a better posture to be in. I'm proud of President Trump leaving the World Health Organization for now. Ilhan Omar making some news. Here's what the Minnesota Congresswoman had to say.
As long as our economy and political systems prioritize profit without considering who is profiting, who is being shut out, we will perpetuate this inequality. So we cannot stop at criminal justice system. We must begin the work of dismantling the whole system of oppression wherever we find it.
Now, it may surprise some listeners to the podcast, but I actually have a very open and honest dialogue with Ilhan Omar, and I'm able to have that because she is very sincere in what she believes. She's not one of these people who just came to Congress to let special interests own her or control her. Like, she fundamentally believes the things that she just said in that speech. And that should concern all Americans deeply. Because the left truly does want to dismantle the elements of American society that have made us successful. And by the way, if you listen to the podcast, if you watched our hearings in the House Judiciary Committee on policing, you know this, because during the Judiciary Committee, I exposed just how radical these entities are that Ilhan Omar specifically and the squad have been raising money for.
Here's a tweet from two of our congressional colleagues supporting this group, Black Visions Minnesota. And then here's that group, that same group, Black Visions Minnesota, that my congressional colleagues are raising money for, saying that we should end the police. And then here's that same organization retweeting abolish the police. And then here's the same group saying that instead of police, we need therapists, doctors, and street medics, not cops. And here again is that same group saying that we need lasers to disorient surveillance cameras, and we need water balloons filled with milk to throw at people. Again, this is the organization that my congressional colleagues are raising money to support.
And so the question America will have to answer is whether or not Joe Biden is strong enough to actually stand up to these elements of the leftist movement in our country. And when he has general problems with awareness and recall of who he is and who is around him, it's just hard to believe that Joe Biden is the voice that is going to prevail over Ilhan Omar, Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, because that's where the energy is in the Democratic movement. And it's a sad thing for America. I wish that weren't the case. I wish that we all loved America and wanted to preserve America and simply had a disagreement about the mechanism to do that. But here it seems like one side really wants to keep, preserve, honor, and love America, and the other side is trying to create something very different from the United States that has led the world not only in economic prosperity, but in humanitarian aid, in compassion, in refugee assistance. You know, they want to always dog America, but it's America that I think has been the light of the world, and we could continue to do so by being the best version of ourselves. Finally, we got some Antifa arrests. Now, this has been a time coming. The Post-Millennial is reporting the arrest of 7 Antifa militants following their apprehension by authorities in Portland, Oregon. The announcement was made by U.S. Attorney Billy J. Williams. They are arrested on federal charges for participating in a violent riot outside of a courthouse. So, good. And by the way, like, I've just taken a look at these 7 folks. I mean, it is exactly what you would expect. They look like they just wandered out of, like, some sort of, you know, Bernie Sanders-led drum circle or a rain dance with Pocahontas. But this crowd looks like they're going to be facing serious charges. They deserve it. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of corporate America donating to these entities that go and pay the bail for the people who are participating, you know, not in peaceful protest that wouldn't cause one to be arrested, but actually in the rioting and in the destruction of our country. You know, the great American enterprises should not be helping to fuel, literally, the destruction of America. And here, it's good to see the U.S. Attorney in Portland taking some action. Let it be a message to other Antifa that their actions won't be tolerated. And let it be a message to the media that these violent organizations that are political terrorists by means of seeking to inflict fear on others are not a myth. They are, in fact, around, and we're going to make sure that they face justice. Because politicians sold out on a vision of China that was frankly false and delusional in the last generation, China represents the greatest threat to American prosperity in the next generation. And we have to view the conflict this way. China surely does. There is a really, I think, explosive report on just how frequent the FBI is having to respond to the threat of China. And we see it in the Daily Caller's reporting from Chuck Ross. Christopher Wray details in a statement that we have to open a counterintelligence investigation into China every 10 hours. There are more than 5,000 active counterintelligence investigations of China, and they pose the greatest long-term threat to our nation's, you know, information, intellectual property, and economic vitality, according to Christopher Wray in his speech to the Hudson Institute. The National Pulse and Natalie Winters continuing to break more important stories on China. And in this case, China is caught with their hand in the cookie jar on the Paycheck Protection Act. And you know what? We called this out in advance. I had the No China Act that would have stopped these Chinese-linked companies from being able to capitalize on these various U.S. programs to save us from the economic catastrophe that so many American businesses and families felt resulting from coronavirus. And so, you know, we should not be using those funds intended for the provision of our people to help these, like, straight-up Chinese entities. And I mean, you know, you don't have to look far. The folks, again, at the National Pulse did that harvesting, and they found that companies like China United Transport got money. China Manufacturers Alliance got money. China Luxury Advisors. Let's see, another one. The China Institute. And, I mean, they have a 100-year history of working alongside the Chinese Communist Party. China Techs got a bailout. I mean, these are just the obvious ones, but there are a lot of Chinese ownership interests in corporate America, in the hospitality industry, in the restaurant space. And I think we need to be more resilient, more diligent, and just more aware of the fact that this is an enemy, and we shouldn't be aiding the enemy by using the U.S. dollar to prop up their companies and their operations in the United States. And we can be more resilient by having the State Department, having the Department of Defense really analyze the risk that these entities like Zoom and TikTok pose to the United States of America. There was a key moment in the debate on the National Defense Authorization Act where we actually got some bipartisan agreement on the threat that China poses. It was on a Jim Banks amendment that I supported. Here's Mr. Banks' explanation of the amendment. Jim Banks from Indiana.
This amendment would fill a loophole that was created in last year's NDAA that exempted defense-funded basic research activities from information sharing requirements. This is a necessary step to ensure the security of our sensitive defense research and development. This is not about undoing the foundations of open and free academic research. This is about transparency and accountability. These are taxpayer dollars, and the DoD must have the ability to understand where this money is going and who is participating in this research, whether they are American or foreign. We have seen numerous incidents from both Americans and foreign nationals involved in the theft of intellectual property, espionage, and illicit technology transfer. It is exceedingly difficult for the department to accurately assess what vulnerabilities exist within these DoD research programs if they aren't aware of who is actually conducting the research.
And you saw folks from the left principally disagree with that, but then you saw Seth Moulton, someone who wore the uniform, who is an American patriot, a Marine, serves on the Armed Services Committee, actually step up, one of the younger leading voices in sort of a new look Democratic Party. And Seth took the position that we ought to come together to face the threat that China poses. Here's Seth Moulton's debate.
I think this is a tough call. And I'm concerned about how this debate is falling along partisan lines, because we do live in a different age with the stated policy of China and Xi Jinping to steal our basic scientific research that does have an influence on our national security. At the same time, I come from Massachusetts. I have a degree in physics from Harvard. I represent a part of the world with the greatest concentration of top universities, and yet it was a Harvard chemistry professor who was recently charged by the U.S. attorney for undue influence from China.
So you can see there is a bipartisan consensus. We can and should do more. I've talked on the podcast about this Russian bounty story. I've said this was information that Congress knew, that there was no unique, special elevation of Russia's mischief beyond the type of mischief that they're always engaged in. And lo and behold, more evidence to support that position from the Wall Street Journal. Nancy Youssef has a story. It is entitled, "No Americans Are Known to Have Died in Russia Bounty Scheme, U.S. General Says." And the piece cites General Frank McKenzie as the principal source for the proposition that we can't prove that the knowledge that Russians were out there trying to deploy cash in exchange for harm to Americans, you know, that that may have been attempted, but was not necessarily successful. And by the way, that happens with Russia a lot. Just like they attempt election interference, but are not always successful, here they may have attempted these bounty schemes and it also not been successful. So it's important to understand the frame on these things, whether they are or not important. While, of course, the safety and security of our bravest Americans who go downrange is perhaps the most important thing our country should be focused on, we don't do any service to those downrange by over-accentuating, by supercharging threats in order to justify greater entanglement that really is not necessary. You know, we have got 8,000 troops in Afghanistan now. That number needs to come way down. But also, I think we need to turn down the volume on the media's lies on the Russia bounty scheme. Thanks so much for listening to Hot Takes. This is Congressman Matt Gaetz. Tune in tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe. Give us a rating, a review. Let us know what you think. I'll be back tomorrow with more Hot Takes.